You're now listening to the Deep Edge Podcast with your host, technology expert Ray Moda, giving you the rundown on telecom, cloud, and all things business and tech. This is the Deep Edge Podcast.
Let's go!
Hello, and this is Ray Moda from ACG Research, and this is the Deep Edge Podcast. In this particular episode, I'm going to dive into what the global impact is on COVID-19. I'll talk about some of the macroeconomic drivers, some things associated, what's pushing the telecom market, discuss some of the traffic trends, how it impacts certain verticals, but more importantly, how it impacts different parts of traffic in the telecom market, and then certain router pieces where there's some specific areas that there's some opportunities, but there's some also concerns associated with it. So when we look at initially what we see in the market is that the rate of change of the confirmation of cases is accelerating at an astronomical logarithmic growth pace, where if we look at from January to about February or early March timeframe, like let's say in the 43-day cycle, we've seen about 100,000 use cases, but now you're getting at the point where in one day you're getting over 100,000 or even more per day, and now we're over 2 million confirmed cases globally. So this is a global pandemic. There isn't just one particular country. Now, one of the things that we look at is how is the COVID-19 impacting the overall unemployment? So one thing we have is we tend to look at history. And when we look at history, let's just say we start at the more recent, which is the financial crisis of 2008 to 2009, we saw that the global impact on unemployment was 22 million across the board. And that's an interesting number from the Labor Department. Now, what we see is that if we look at, let's just say domestically from a U.S. perspective, the Department of Labor stated that unemployment in over the last 3 weeks is just increasing tremendously. We saw an announcement on March 15 to the 21st, where that particular week they were 3.3 million. Then we saw from March 22nd, 6.6 million. So the numbers continue to grow. So when you look at the Labor Department, they kind of break it up into what they call a low impact, mid impact, and high impact. And the concern is from an high impact perspective, they're projecting the global unemployment to be about 24.7 million unemployed people. And honestly, from my opinion, I think that's actually somewhat modest when you just look at the US alone. If we go back into history and we look at the Great Depression in the United States, we saw that unemployment rose about 25% at its highest level, which included a workforce of about 50 million unemployed people in the U.S. So this will be interesting to keep track of that and see how it affects different industries. Now, when we look at it from a macro perspective, we see that the GDP has been changing almost weekly from a variety of different sources. We see that the IMF on January 20th projected a 3.3 GDP growth rate. We saw that Bank of America on February 27th projected a 2.8 GDP growth rate. And the numbers continue to decline, where now we're seeing IMF, we're seeing CEBR have projections of decline of GDP ranging from -3% to as high as 6% GDP perspective. So it's across the board, it's across all economists about the stability of the economy. Now, when we look at advanced economies, let's say the U.S., we see that the U.S. in 2019 actually had a GDP growth of 2.3%. But now, collectively, the economists are projecting a decline of about 5.9% in 2019, but it to recover in 2021 to about 4.7%. Then we see countries like Germany, France, Italy, and Spain somewhat be a little flat in 2019, but all of them decreasing in 2020, almost double digits, ranging from 7% for Germany to as high as 9.1% in Italy across the board. Now, there are some developing countries, interesting that we call China developing countries, but China actually in 20, in 2019 actually increased 6.1%, but is projected to decline or actually be somewhat flat this year, about 1.2%. So not a negative GDP. There'll be some growth there because of some of their stability and control of the virus. And we see in India that in 2019, India actually GDP grew 4.2%, and also similar to China, be about 1.9%. But both of those countries are projected to increase almost double-digit growth. China for 2021, about 9.2%, and India at 7.4%. So while there's countries that are advanced countries somewhat declining, there's some emerging opportunities across the board. So as we look at history, we talked about earlier about the economic crisis and the financial crisis in 2008, 2009, where we saw a tremendous decline in GDP across the board. The question is, how long did people last and how long did some of that part of the recession last? And we saw that certain countries during that piece just never fully recover. We saw Spain, Italy, Japan, and France somewhat just be somewhat in a forever recession. We saw the U.S. actually took almost about a year to a year and a half time frame to recover. But again, countries like India, China, Indonesia, and Brazil actually had a stronger part in that area. Now, if we map that to what's going on today, based on some of the global projections, we see that from a global GDP perspective, they do see that countries like China and India, Indonesia, Turkey, and even Mexico are actually going to come out somewhat stronger within a year, about the end of this year to the beginning of 2021. While there's going to be other countries like the U.S., Russia, Brazil, Japan, that are actually going to take longer. Some are projecting by mid-2021. Some are projecting between 2022 across the board. So some will take longer. Now, what we notice here is that this particular virus and pandemic is not discriminating a lot of the verticals. It's impacting a tremendous amount. Some that stand out are the airline industries, where we see from a stock perspective, we see Delta, American Airlines, United Airlines just take almost a high double-digit decline in their stock value. But then we see a lot of hospitality places like Hilton, Marriott also have tremendous decline, as high as 80 to 40% decline in their stock. And we also see some retail organizations like McDonald's, Starbucks, and others have similar decline. But in talking to some of these large retail firms, what we notice is that because of technology, some of them have been able to maintain and stay open. So applications that you run on your phone like DoorDash have been able to keep some revenue stream enough to maintain the overhead of some of their business across the board, right? Now, since we are talking about the telecom industry, one of the things that we look at in a big index is how are telecoms perceiving this? How are telecoms looking to spend, right? So one of the ratios that we tend to look at from a global point of view is capital expenditure divided by revenue. So CapEx divided by revenue. And if we go back to 2010, the average number was about 16.8%, and it used to fluctuate, where you saw a little spike in 2015 of about 19.1%, and in 2019 to be about 16.7%. So the baseline for 2020 initially was actually some growth in that area and opportunity in spending, where the baseline, according to SG Cowen and a few other Wall Street firms, was going to be about 17.3%, right? So, and a lot of that was driven by 5G, some densification, some investment in backhaul, some investment in higher pipes across the board. But the concern is if there's reduction in IT staff, if there's reduction in a lot of these companies just downsizing, there's not going to be a lot of IT spending, a lot of IT demands, and a lot of IT demands for that initial bandwidth to that headquarters. So some are projecting, or at least ACG and SG Cowen and others are projecting, a bear market on the CapEx of about 13.4%. Specifically, I should say that's an ACG number there. Right now, what we see is that when we look at total CapEx across the board, what we see is that initially we did project just CapEx to be about 6.1%. And again, that's with SG Cowen there. But if this shift continues of this unemployment and government's not getting a handle on this COVID-19, ACG is projecting the CapEx to be a bear market of about minus 10.4%. And we also see a shift going on. Traditionally, we see that a lot of the traffic growth and rate of change in mobile was increased tremendously. But we see that now that people are doing the stay at home and certain states have a lockdown, we're seeing that people are using their mobile phone, but what they're doing is onboarding into their Wi-Fi home thing and going through a wireline. So what does that do? That changes somewhat of the dynamics and the economic indicators for the telco market, where we used to see traffic growing, revenue being flat or down. Well, those economics just got somewhat magnified and worse there. So there's this shift going on. It'll be interesting to see the breakout between the two and how it goes forward. Now, the other part is when we look from a capital expenditure is the cloud operators, Amazon, Google, Facebook, is that we do see that they actually, from a baseline, were expected to have about a 15% CapEx growth rate. But now what's happening is there's certain parts of them, let's say Facebook, where they're getting less ad revenue. And with less ad revenue, there's less requirements to be able to support the investment and the spending. Traffic's going up, revenue going down, not a total sustainable market in that area. So there's some projection that if it continues this way, from an ACG point of view, we see that being a bear market of actually CapEx spending of minus 8.2%. But because these web scalers actually sweat their assets better, they're not going to compromise losing the customer. They don't want the bad press, and they're going to figure out ways to identify what parts of the network they could invest in and simplify to move forward there. Now, when we look at traffic, when we look at the traditional telcos and other people in there, we see that from a Verizon point of view, they made some numbers public that people during these pandemic tend to want to talk more. So we're seeing that the average duration of time that people talk increased 15%. The total usage of voice for Verizon increased 25%. And because of all the remote workers across the board, they're looking at VPN traffic increasing about 25%. So that's just Verizon. We saw that AT&T actually added 700% increase in connections via SD-WAN. That's just an amazing number because people want to work from home, but they want to keep compliancy. So SD-WAN is going to play a big role moving forward with this, as well as the requirements, because just VPN isn't going to be enough. And we do see that from an AT&T core traffic actually went up 24%. We saw that in cable, downstream was up 90%. We saw upstream was up 60%. So cable's also being impacted. And people like Microsoft stated that the cloud usage spiked about 775%. So traffic is having a big impact across the board. And then if we look at certain internet exchange, like the one in Frankfurt, the DECIX exchange, their normal average used to be about 3.7 gigabits, right, from an average perspective of traffic. Now we're seeing current, where it's about 6.4 terabits. And in that area, we're seeing that in those averages, now we're seeing peaks of numbers that we haven't seen before. We're seeing peak traffic at this internet exchange of about 9.1 terabits per second. Again, something new in the industry. Now, I talked about the telco market and I talked about the telecom, the web scaler. One of the things is that you need to understand the difference in the mindset on how they build their networks and support the networks. What we see is from the telco point of view is that the mindset of telco provider, when I used to be a CTO, I used to provision the network. And if I saw capacity and it was running close to 45%, I would automatically provision another line just because I didn't trust it. I didn't do that. But then my planning, a lot of the telco planning, you see that it's long-term. It's 3 to 5 year planning cycles. So this is why you see that these networks haven't died. The internet is still working. You're still able to connect or still able to make these calls because of the planning, and telcos have done a good job of that. But now the concern is that 3 to 5 year planning is now being squeezed to 3 to 4 months timeframe. But there is a need for telco to figure out, how do I leverage automation? How do I use centralized policy? How do I move away from the silos of automation so I can optimize my network environment? Where the cloud operators we talked about, their mindset is automate everywhere, but they do need to figure out is, what areas do I have to invest opportunities? So for vendors that sell to those areas, there could be certain spots you can bring in. So during the pandemic, there's still specific trends and insertion points, right? And you need to look at to say, how do I prepare for this recovery? But how do I develop something that has what we call a legacy, so the new norm, and you're prepared to play a role in this new norm moving forward? Because even after the virus, doesn't mean that when some of these states or countries open up, people are actually just going to jump. There's going to be a gradual change, but there's insertion points in there. So we see still that from a vendor and a service provider, virtualization, security, intelligence, and automated services are still going to have tremendous growth rate, specifically areas related to the RAN as people start going outside. We're seeing opportunities for open RAN becoming a very, very hot topic. We see private LTE, private 5G, or private wireless becoming also a hot topic. And then a lot of discussions about Wi-Fi. And what role will Wi-Fi play in a lot of this? But NFV now is becoming relevant and it's being accelerated. So there's opportunities in there. But we also see the parts of AI and machine learning having an impact, because a lot of the service providers right now, they need to figure out how to survive in this area. And there might be some potential funding coming from the government, where a lot of the governments are realizing, hey, this telecom space actually is not just critical to the home users working from home, it's critical to our economy and the importance of our economy. So I do see some areas there. But when it gets to routing and traditional architectures, there's opportunities for certain vendors that play in the access aggregation area and the services edge area, because we're seeing from a capacity constraint point of view that those are the chokeholds. So if we look at for those that sell products on the access aggregation or the services edge side, there's opportunities there where even during the bear market from a GDP perspective, these customers are going to invest in better cell site type material that connect to the access aggregation. And we see that from a baseline, traditionally was projected to be about 6.6% CAGR. We're seeing a lot of people look to invest in about a 13.3% CAGR. So maybe I'll summarize by saying that a lot of this moving forward in this pandemic, these numbers could change drastically, is that there's going to be a new norm in telecom. Working from home, working remotely, security, having security everywhere is going to be important, and not compromising security as you move to these remote sites. So the true impact and how long this lasts is going to depend on how each government contains the virus and how they implement it forward. So I'll end with this and I'll continue to update more for it. So thank you. This is Ray Mota for the Deep Edge Podcast. Stay safe.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Deep Edge Podcast. Make sure to follow Ray Mota on Twitter and LinkedIn at RMota. If you enjoyed the podcast, please make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on iTunes. Want even more? Head over to acgcc.com to access exclusive bonus content. Till next time.